Hey guys, welcome to 2020 and welcome to the 11th season of Interviews with the Haunting Masters. I want to run something by you. I've been considering now for a couple of seasons to change the name of Interviews with the Haunting Masters. Not the format, not what we do or how we do it, but just change the name to Days in the Wild to match my old TV show and my guide services, Days in the Wild Outfitters, just so it's all concise, and for one. And number two, I got feedback that, you know, over the years that people think my the title of the show is a little pretentious, like, oh, you know, this guy thinks he's a haunting master. And lastly, because Interviews with the Haunting Masters is quite long and a little hard to market, Days in the Wild is a little bit easier. And again, like it's like I said, it matches everything else. So like to hear what you think. Like to hear from all the fans and all the guys that have been guys and girls that have been listening to the podcast, and you know, what you think, if I should change the name or not. So I'm gonna put up a little survey page on johnstallone.me, and I'd love to hear back from you. So without further ado, we're going to roll into this next episode, and it's brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Thanks. Today, we're going to do a little year recap with Jake Downs. He's going to share with us his ups, his downs, and everything else in between from this year. He's been out there killing shit all freaking all year long. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just hanging out at home right now.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I can guarantee you, see, it's like 3 o'clock right now. My kids will probably be rolling in here in the next 25 minutes or so. All hell's going to break loose in the background. So I'm going to, anybody listening to the podcast or and to you, I apologize now in advance because my dogs are going to go nuts and everything else. So anyway, so. You had a good year, man.
Yeah, it's
you done, or you still got more going?
Not really for 2019. I mean, I still got a doe tag and a couple of turkey tags. My wife, she's still got a buck tag, and she's actually got two. Okay. I'm gonna try to get her out this weekend on a buddy's place and get her a couple of management deer, or at least one. So for me, it's over for 19. I'm headed to Arizona the first of the year, but 19's pretty much wrapped for me.
Sweet. We're don't give me a unit or anything. Whereabouts in Arizona are you gonna be hunting?
It's pretty south. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't even know. My buddy lives down that way, and I go out every year, and every year we seem to go to a new spot. He's kind of just got it figured out, and I just tag along. So really, it's I think I know the unit, but because I sent in for the javelina tag, but I couldn't even tell you where we're going. I know we're going to be pretty close to the border because he said it's a bit sketchy where we're headed, but other than that, I don't know.
Nice. It's always better hunting when you're dodging narcos.
Yeah.
For sure. Cool. So, I don't know, man. Start from the beginning. I guess you started your season off in here in January last year, no?
Yep. Yeah, I came down and we hunted. I usually try to make a trip out to my buddy, hang out with him and hunt. And we hunted deer and didn't have any. I had a pretty good stock and it got blown and ended up killing a javelina, but which I honestly almost prefer to hunt them over the deer. They're fun.
Yeah, they were designed for bow hunting.
They're fun. Yeah.
I mean, it's the only thing that you can like do spot and stalk and have a fairly high chance of success, but still experience like the same stuff that you would to go on a coos deer hunt. Like, yep. You're still climbing up nasty ridges. And I mean, you find them in the flats and the rollers too. Don't get me wrong, but The units that I hunt, most of the javelina are up on the mountain, sometimes even higher than the deer. And, you know, it's just, an adventure, but it's always, I shouldn't say always, but most of the time has a nice prize at the end, you know? It's like, it's worth the effort.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah. What I like about them is you're just hunting deer, and all of a sudden it becomes a javelina hunt. You know, it's just like, and they're not, I mean, it's not like they're everywhere. You know, I think some people miss, they think they're like, you know, Texas pigs where they're everywhere.
No, no, no.
And, at least that's not been my experience. You know, you find little packs of them here and there, but it's not just like the desert's covered in them.
No, not at all. The population density is fairly low. They're hard to spot, period. I mean, like you said, most of the time guys kill them. It's an opportunistic hunt, you know, where they're looking for deer and not finding whatever, or not seeing what they want to go after. And then boom, there happens to be, you know, a herd of javelina feeding on the same hillside. But for the most part, it actually ends up, it's one of my most popular hunts that we guide for because guys have such a hard time and because it's so much fun. You know, they have such a hard time on their own. But, you know, we've had 100%, shot opportunity, and we had 100% success rate up until last year. I had two guys actually that shot and missed a couple times, and we weren't able to get it done. But it's one of those hunts that, like, very high reward rate versus the risk, you know. And it's a fun hunt. You just gotta, you know where to look for them and how to find them. But once you,
Yeah,
it's usually so.
they're a blast.
So then after that, obviously you had your spring hunts and stuff like that. You went bear hunting too, right? I think I saw you a bear or.
Yep, I actually had a pretty busy spring. I wasn't really sure what my fall was going to bring. I didn't have any major hunts booked. Well, I shouldn't say that. I had some, you know, usually in the fall I have a one or two, like maybe in Alaska or something, and I did end up going on a moose hunt. But regardless, I didn't have a lot of stuff going, so I ended up going to Texas a couple times after exotics and pigs, and ended up shooting a pretty nice oddad. And then yeah, I went up to BC and chased bears with Aaron sent me up there with the Kafar crew, and we just hung out, and that
Nice.
was the first time I'd chased bears on foot, so that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a different experience.
Yeah, it is. It was fun. I didn't get a lot of experience. I ended up shooting my bear on the first night because that's just who I am. I'm not much of a trophy hunter, or to hold out isn't really my style. It was a decent bear and I took it. So it wasn't like, but the rest of the week I got to hang out. A buddy of mine was with me, and I got to just basically hang out with him and watch him stalk stuff, and it was fun.
Nice, nice. And so from there, after spring, you how did how, where did you start your fall at?
Actually, in Wyoming, I drew a decent antelope tag, and that was probably one of my highlighted hunts from this year. Just nothing's crazy about it, but drew a tag in a unit that I won't mention. But anyway, it was a decent, well, most of Wyoming, there's good goat numbers and everything's pretty decent, but
Well,
didn't have a lot of, what's that?
I said there's more goats than people, so.
Yeah, pretty much. It's and this unit didn't have, I mean, the goat numbers are good, but it's not, you know, necessarily known for a huge number of goats. But regardless, it was I ran down. I didn't have much time to scout, so I decided to go down a couple weeks early, and Set up, basically just took my four-wheeler, bombed down for the weekend, and I had never been in the unit, and basically just covered miles and miles, and it was pretty darn dry. And I ended up only finding three water holes and one game and parks catchment or whatever.
Okay.
And three out of the four water holes already had blinds on them.
Oh, shit.
But it's kind of funny because, and the other one I found, I was just onyxing and just checking because,
Right.
you could find where the water is, but 90% of the holes I checked were dry.
Gotcha.
So anyway, the one that I found was in the middle of nowhere. There was roads to it, but nobody had been down the roads. I mean, it was just nonstop covering country. But the one I found that didn't have a blind on it was probably the best one as far as tracks go.
Okay.
And I was able to set up a blind, and I didn't set up a camera or anything. I don't know why. I just didn't have one. And headed out. Saw some decent goats while I was there, and anyway, headed back home and worked for another couple weeks, and come back hoping my blind wasn't missing or had blown away or somebody stole it.
Right.
Headed down the night before opener because my summer was crazy as far as work goes. I didn't really have a lot of time to waste, I guess, so. I had to leave the day before opener, headed down, got there kind of later than I wanted to. And since I'd only been to that water hole once, and the way I got there was so roundabout, it wasn't straight from any, where I was camping or whatever. So I had it marked on Onyx, but I had to, but I wanted to go check and make sure my blind was there for the morning. And got lost.
Shit.
I couldn't find the right road to get in there because, like I said, there was a lot of two tracks, but you had to hit just the right one to get to the right spot. I mean, I could see where it was on the map. I just couldn't find the right road, which is weird. It sounds actually kind of stupid, but it anyway ended up finally finding it. The blind was there. The water had receded.
Of course.
A long ways, actually. I mean, but I found it like, I don't know, it was like 11 o'clock at night by the time I found it, and didn't go all the way down, just peeked up over the hill, and it was still there. And went back to camp, finally got back to camp like a little after midnight, and decided to get in there well before daylight. So I mean, I only got like 2 hours of sleep, got up. Drove back over there, and I ended up having to hike in about, I don't know, three quarters, maybe a mile, because I wanted to leave my four-wheeler well away from anywhere. And hiked in there the first day, got set up, and like I said, as the sun came up, I was like, holy cow, the water had receded so far that where the goats were could come in on the one side where they were coming in. Was like 10 yards. It was close. So I was a little nervous about that. I kind of thought maybe that was going to screw me, but I didn't really have any options. The side of the water where I was at was real steep and had a bunch of cattails or whatever, a lot of brush. So I didn't have a lot of options on where I could set or move. But it worked out. I mean, it was probably like 11 o'clock that morning, first morning. I just, all of a sudden, I heard hooves coming running.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, they, like a herd of horses or something. I mean, it was crazy. And just barely got my book set down and went to grab my bow. And the first doe came into sight like 8 yards away, right to my left. The doe started drinking, and the buck, he came in but didn't come straight to the water. He was kind of hanging up on the hill just a little ways, and I could see that he was a pretty good one. I'm not much for judging antelope, and I'm not much for passing. I mean, here in Nebraska, you just shoot the first goat you can. I mean, honestly, for me, it's I don't trophy hunt them here, so he looked good to me. So he ended up coming around the does and got to the far side of the water. So I had to let him drink. He was facing me. And as he turned to walk away, I settled in and shot right over his back. And they all took off. I think my limb actually hit the top of the blind. But they all ran up on the hill and just acted like nothing, like they didn't know what happened. You know, it wasn't like they were overly scared, but they just weren't coming back in. So I ended up sitting for the rest of that day, and then the next day I sat all day and had two groups of small bucks come in, smaller bucks I would have been. I considered shooting them. I don't know how I passed them, to be honest with you. I just was hoping that big one would come in. And I knew I had, you know, I had planned at least 5 days down there, and I could probably stay more. And anyway, ended up waiting, and I'm glad I did, because that third day, that's when that group came in. Basically, about the same time, they came roaring in exactly the way they did the first day. But this time, the buck. He came in where the does were and was kind of between them. And then he moved around and got broadside. And I say he was broadside, but I actually think he was quartering a little to me. And I couldn't really tell. You know what I mean? You know how sometimes you just think they're perfect, but they're over far enough to your right or left, whatever, that they are actually quartering a little bit. Sounds dumb, but anyway, he was quartering, and I went in a little low behind the shoulder and came out basically liver-ish. And it was kind of quartering a downward shot, which is weird, because the way my blind was set up, I was kind of up on the knoll of the where the bank came up, so I was actually kind of shooting down at him. Anyway, wasn't the most perfect shot, but not bad. And he ran up on the hill and laid down immediately. And I was trying to figure out how to get out of the blind and get another arrow in him. And he was bedded within sight of me, so I couldn't quite figure it out, and I didn't want to push him. So I sat, and luckily, after about 30 minutes, he just died. But
You want to know what to do?
what's that?
You want to know what to do? And that's it.
Yeah, what's that?
Stand up, pick up your blind, turn it,
Yeah,
take a couple steps forward, put it back down. He won't run anywhere. They won't run.
that's
They won't run with the blind like that. You can actually walk with the blind over your head, and they won't run.
really. I have to try that one.
Pro tip.
If he would have,
Excuse me.
man, if he'd have laid there any longer than that, I could tell he was up there not suffering, but I just hate that.
Me too.
You know, but in all honesty, you know, he was dead within 20 or 30 minutes. So, I mean, it's not the perfect quick clean kill where he falls over dead, but 30 minutes ain't bad. I mean, you know, that's the standard wait time you're supposed to, you know. Sure, animals do that more often than we know, because we're sitting back not being able to see them. But yeah, he didn't go very far. So.
I don't know what it is about antelope, but for some reason, I've had more situations like that, like you just mentioned, than I care to.
Yeah, they're for as small as they are, they're a fairly tough animal.
I feel like I've had to put. I feel like they're tough and then they're not at the same time. Like where a deer would just keep on freaking going, they'll run and they'll just bed down and like, 100 yards from where you shot them.
Yeah, they're definitely a special animal. I love antelope. They're probably one of my favorite critters to hunt. They're so cool looking. And
me too.
Getting that close to an antelope is difficult. I mean, obviously on water it's not, but they're so on edge. You know, you can't really make a mistake at that close range. So they're fun.
Nice. Yeah, but next time try that out. If
you haven't, I'll have to do that. It would have been tough because basically I just cleared a bunch of those reeds out of the way and set that blind up, and I'd have been having to walk through them through those reeds with that blind. I thought about seriously sliding underneath the blind and because he was up on the hill,
right,
and sliding into the water. Because if I would have gotten in the water, he wouldn't have been able to see me.
Right.
And then crawling through the mud. But yeah, it was some nasty, nasty water, nasty mud. I probably would have done it if he'd have laid there any longer.
But. You probably would have ended up getting like some kind of crazy virus or some shit.
Yeah, that's no kidding. I would have definitely not wanted to get any in my mouth. That's for sure.
Ugh. Or your eyes get pink eye and shit.
Oh, yeah.
God. Anyway, all right. So that was Wyoming. Then where'd you go from there?
I actually came back home and had a few days to hunt here. Actually, I hunted goats here with my compound, and I snuck up on a pretty nice goat. Probably he might have even been bigger than the one I shot, and just got too close. I'm just not smart enough with that compound. I hunt like I do with my recurve. I was like 20 yards and one of his does stood up and saw me.
That's crazy.
It was over. But and then same place I was hunting is where I hunt mule deer, and spent 3 days chasing sandhills mule deer and ended up killing a decent velvet buck. Stalked in on him and missed him twice, if you can believe it. And yeah, I don't. Obviously, the first time I missed him, he didn't know what was going on. It was like 35 yards, and it was windy. That's what helped me on that one. It was super windy. I shot over him and he ran out and just kind of looked around, and he couldn't tell what it was, and just made a circle and bedded back down in an even better spot. And I was able to come up behind him, and sad to say, I missed him at like 12 yards. It was so close. Shot just braised hair right off his back. I think my biggest problem on that one was I was trying to get the shot off so fast because I just knew that he was going to hear me, smell me, see me, whatever.
Right.
But it worked out all right because when I shot over him, he jumped up and ran out to 20 yards and looked straight back at his bed. And he was broadside and already had an arrow on. And that arrow I connected right. I mean, perfect shot. And he didn't go very far, but those sandhills deer are fun to chase around.
Oh yeah, I was this close to convincing myself in November when we got done in South Dakota, because we got done so quick. We were done by like day three or whatever. Mm-hmm. To drop him down and going to Nebraska and seeing if we can't grab a tag somehow.
Oh yeah, you should have, man. It's not hard in Nebraska. You can buy a tag online and print them off for archery, you know. So right. Well, actually, I think rifle hunting is the same way. But yeah, they don't. They just give our tags away. it's tough. Public land hunting's tough here. I would never. People ask me about it all the time, and I'm, you know, most of the stuff I do around home, I'm on friends' places. I don't lease any ground in Nebraska. I don't lease any ground anywhere. If I pay to hunt, it's usually just to hunt. But I have friends that own stuff, and I'm an electrician, so that gets me some hunting. You know, I got to give them some free labor and some different stuff. But yeah, it's none of the good hunting is free, I guess I should say. Well, I shouldn't say that. There is some good bucks taken off of public ground, but usually it's because they, during the rut, they just made a mistake and followed a doe onto public land, and somebody just happened to be there. So,
Right. Yeah, no,
but.
it's definitely something. I got it in my head that I'm gonna get out there this year somehow. I just haven't figured out how, because you know what it is really. It's just the wife and kids at that time. Because we're gonna be I'm pretty sure I got at least four guys already booked for South Dakota. So. And I'm going to hunt for myself. So that means I'm going to be there for 10 days. So for me to tell my wife, say, hey, I'll be back in another 4 or 5 days is kind of tough.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. Do you guys do public ground, or do you got a place that you hunt on?
Well, so for years I did public ground over there, but now the last 3 or 4 years, 4 years, I got private ground.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, South Dakota's better on how they distribute their rifle tags, and some of the stuff they're doing now with the tech, you know, changing the where you can't just buy the tag, you have to actually send in for it to hunt public ground. I like the way they manage their stuff just a little better than we do. They got a little better quality too. So, you know, depends on where you go.
Right.
But I like hunting South Dakota.
Yeah, but there's the thing about South Dakota is like, I mean, there's public land, don't get me wrong, but there's almost no public land in South Dakota.
Yeah, it depends on where you go, and yeah, it's not. Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've taken some good public land bucks there, especially whitetail in the Black Hills. But you got to put some work in.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So don't let me cut you off of your kill fest this year. Where you go next?
Next, I went to. Well, actually, I had a general elk tag in Wyoming, and that was my next deal. Another DIY, just public land like the antelope. The worst part about all my hunting is I don't have just a spot that I go back to every year. I mean, I do like around here for deer and different things, but I don't really have that special unit. You know, I haven't been elk hunting in this unit ever, or any of, you know, I mean, it was a general tag. I could have hunted several units, but and then I don't have a lot of time in the summer to scout, like I said, work and everything. So I ended up kind of just rolling the dice on where I was going to go, I took my wife and little one out there in July or something. We just ran out for the weekend and did a little bit of. I just walked around where I thought maybe the elk would be. Didn't see a single elk, but I did see some
Something.
sign,
Yeah.
and what looked like you know, I found some rubs and different things. I thought, you know what? Obviously they're in here during the rut. I'll give it a shot. You know, I'm not overly picky, so well, whatever. And ended up actually going to a different unit because I just wasn't that excited about going to this one. So I went to a different unit, backpacked in for, well, I only had to be there one day and one night, and the next day to know that there wasn't any elk there. I don't know. It was pretty bad. I ran into one other hunter, and I never saw anything. No tracks, no poop, no scrubs, no nothing even old. So it didn't take me very long to get out of there and get back down. I went back down to this other spot, and ended up basically finding the elk on like day 3 or 4 and just followed them around. They were just starting to get revved up, and the herd bull, which he was probably that, he wasn't a monster, but he's probably in that 300, 320, maybe a little bigger. I'm guessing he was probably around 320-ish. I'm never good at judging for score, but he was a decent bull, and he was starting to kick all the raghorns and smaller bulls out of this big herd of cows, and I was just kind of following him, hoping that one of these raghorns I could either get him called back in or I actually almost got that herd bull killed. I shot I called two calves come running back. He's just up on the ridge, just bugling and going nuts. And I'm not a caller. You know, I'm not a professional elk hunter. I actually suck at it, if I was being honest. But I called two calves back in. He followed them back down. And he come down the ridge he was on was timbered, and then there was a little patch of grass, and probably like 50, 60 yards wide, and I was on the other side of it in some trees, and he come down into that open, and I wish I'd have had a decoy or something, because he hit about 45 yards. He just come into the opening, expected to see an elk, and didn't. And I'd have shot at, you know, 45 yards on an elk with the stick, it's not impossible. But he never gave me a shot. He was facing me, and then he turned and immediately had the only tree in the entire place right on his vitals. And then he walked. Yeah, that whole story. Then he walked straight back up into the timber, so I didn't get a shot at him. I was pretty excited to actually have called something in, and then I think on the fifth or sixth, I think it was the sixth day, I found the herd and just basically got as close as I could, and he was chasing them raghorns all over the place, and he bumped one. I was kind of up on this little rock formation, and he bumped one towards me, and it walked by me at like 29 yards or something like that. And, I got a good arrow in him, and,
oh, nice.
It was crazy though, 'cause that bull I shot, he ran up on the hill, and that herd bull saw him and chased him for 100 yards, which I was not in favor of. 'Cause then I was, you know, obviously the blood trail is going to be pretty weak. I didn't see it. It wasn't like he was gushing blood or anything.
They're running and stuff.
Yeah. So, but I ended up actually bumping him. I thought I heard where he went down and just waited for a while and went up that hillside and ended up bumping him, but he didn't know what I was and he didn't leave. He just kind of trotted up on the hill, and I could actually see my arrow, sticking out right behind his front shoulder. The broadhead, you know, almost the whole arrow was sticking out of him. So I knew I had quartered it through him, but I decided to let him lay overnight, and I found him dead right there the next morning. It was, that one means a lot to me, because I am not a good elk hunter, and that one was just something that I don't know. I did it all by myself and found the unit, and I mean there wasn't a single bit of, I had other guys give me some advice, but I, you know, as far as how to call and what to do, but as far as where to go, I just kind of picked a place on the map and went. So I was pretty proud of that.
Those are always the best ones.
Oh yeah, you know, he was just a raghorn, but I mean honestly, I got lucky and shot a big huge bull in Colorado for my first elk, and this one means as much to me as that one does. Because I did it by myself, and they all eat good. So
Oh yeah.
But
Elk's the best.
Oh yeah. So
I had a similar situation. I shot had a cow tag here in Arizona many years ago, and I shot this cow, and it must have been the hot cow. I didn't know. And that bull just pushing her all over the damn place. And I end up not ever finding her. It was terrible. Cause like,
yeah,
he was like running her, you know, and she was running away from him. And
yeah,
like, I don't know. I look yeah. back now and I'm like, I look at so many things and I'm like, you know, well, the memories faded quite a bit. It's almost 20 years ago now, but it's like, how did I lose that? Like it never computed to me how I lost this cow. Cause it looked like such a great shot. And, you know,
I tell you what, man, animals are tough. I've had I've had does do that to me before. Just think I pinwheeled her and I did. And they've gone so far. Animals surprise me all the time. It's crazy. You can watch one just fall over from an okay hit. And then sometimes a perfect hit and they'll go a long way. So it's, and in that situation where one's getting run around, they get that adrenaline pumping and, you know, they're built to survive, so it's crazy what an animal can do.
Yeah. They never cease to amaze me.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. After that,
are we back on the journey?
What's that? Oh yeah. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I've had after that I went on that moose hunt. I went up to Alberta. And got deathly sick. It was horrible. I wasn't puking, but I had a high temperature and I had those like the shakes when you can't, like you're laying in bed and yep. you're freezing, but you're hot and you're sweating and you can't stop shaking.
Yep.
Just brutal. And it hit like the first night. Wasn't too bad, but it wasn't great. And then it just got progressively worse over the next 6 days. Finally, towards the end, the night before I was to leave, I started feeling a little better. And I ended up getting a shot on an okay bull. I would have been plumb happy with. And I have absolutely no idea what happened. I think I just lost my shit, I guess. I don't know. Hit it far back, which I hit it in the liver. There's no doubt in my mind I hit the liver because we found the arrow and it was just covered in liver blood, not a bit of guts on it. And as it ran away, I stuck another one in it far back. It was angling straight away from me and I put it in right just past its butt and drove it in there. But I honestly don't, at that angle, even if I got to the lungs, which I don't think I did just because they're such a long animal. I had another one in the guts, but I just didn't have much of a blood trail. We followed it to where it bedded, and unfortunately it bedded in its bedroom. There was trails everywhere coming out of there, and we just could not find the blood coming out. So unfortunately I didn't get my moose, but we tried, we gritted, I kind of feel pretty confident that he died. You know, a liver hit animal is not going to live in my book, especially with another hit in the guts.
Oh, yeah.
But, I don't know where he went, to be honest with you. It was in the rut, and he had a girlfriend with him, and I think he might have got up to go look for her, and he probably could have walked. You know, I mean, we left him for quite a while. We left him for like 8 hours before we went in and started looking again, which I mean, and if it wouldn't have been so close to the end of the deal, but I don't think we bumped him. I mean, we never heard anything. So it wasn't us bumping. I think he just got up and went to look for his girlfriend, and we just could not, you know, and everything's wet there, and it's just, it just kind of petered out the blood. But so it was kind of a heartbreaker.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, but you know what happens? I mean, I can't really whine about it because I've had such good luck. I mean, everything I shot basically tipped over. So it was kind of like the one animal I really wanted to bring home was the one that got away. But so then after that, I went to it's been kind of a crazy year. I took my wife to Florida. One of them deals where they call you up and say, hey, all you got to do is get here for a 3-night stay. It's free. And you got to listen to one of those spiels on whatever.
Right.
Timeshares. And I thought, you know what? It's our 5th anniversary. Let's go to Florida. I said, it'd be a cheap flight. We'll fly down. And I said, we'll just hang out and do whatever you want except for one day. And we'll go pig hunting. And so we both went down and shot pigs. I ended up shooting a pretty nice big sow. So that hunt was pretty fun. Let's see. Where did I go after? You'd think it'd be easier to remember.
Well, when you're doing freaking 17 different hunts, man.
Yeah, it's been a really crazy year.
That's me sounding jealous, just so you know.
That's all right, man. I'm jealous. I'm hoping I can keep it up.
They have one kid, right?
I got one and one on the way. So
it's going to get harder and harder to do that.
It is. And I, we all probably have these conversations with our wives and any hunter that
doesn't matter what you say.
Oh yeah, I hear you. It isn't too hard right now because the little one is so little. She doesn't have obligations or any, you know, sports and different things. And I guess at the moment I'm reaping or taking advantages as long as I can. Right.
Yeah. You got to do it while you can, man. Cause
it
all changes, right, until they get soccer and this and that.
I've got a lot of buddies.
I went from hunting 100-plus days a year to maybe 40.
Yeah. Well, that's still pretty good. I guess what I've been telling my wife is, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have to get better at it and just, you know, shoot stuff faster so I can go on as many hunts but just come home earlier. So we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, so I'm really trying to think of what after the hog I went to. I think that was when me and Aaron went to Texas. And, man, that hunt was pretty fun.
Shot a bunch of shit, right?
Yeah, well, I ended up shooting one buck and three does. Shot three does. And I'd never hunted Texas for deer. It was pretty cool. And it was North Texas, so right up in the panhandle. So it was
different.
It was a lot different than, you know, that southern. Well, every part of Texas has so many different atmospheres. It's kind of crazy. But that hunt was pretty fun. I shot a decent buck there. And I think that was about, I think that I came back and went up to South Dakota. I got a buddy that has an outfitting business, but he has a little spot on the river that he doesn't really, I know he puts guys on it, but he doesn't, it's not one of his prime areas. And so he said if I wanted to come shoot a coal buck, I sure as heck could. And just the luck I'd been having this year, I sat for 2 hours and had a deer walk by me at 20 yards and shot it right in the heart. So that was a kind of a crazy deal. I couldn't quite figure out. And people, they're constantly asking me, what am I doing with all these deer? And you know, I've got all this meat, and we eat a lot. I mean, we don't have any beef, even though my father-in-law and my brother-in-law are ranchers. You know, I'm not opposed to beef, but I don't, you know, I'm just not. So we eat a lot of it. I give a lot of it to my my employees and friends, and we donate it. My wife has some knows some less fortunate people through her job that we've donated it to that needed it. And then this year I found out about this. So Nebraska Bow Hunters Association, there's a gentleman that named Craig Schoenberg. Okay. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's a board member of Compton Traditional Archers, and great guy. But through the Nebraska Bow Hunters Association, he actually does a program called Jerky for the Troops.
Okay.
And he gets people to donate money and meat, and then has a processor that makes this jerky, and then he just ships it overseas to the troops, which is awesome. I love the idea, and I've heard great things from people that have been overseas and gotten the meat, and you know, they're, you know, I can only imagine. I'm not a veteran or anything, but I can only imagine what their life and what they're eating. You know, it's probably the same thing every other day. And to get a big batch of deer jerky, it sounds like they really enjoy it. So I've been kind of stacking some deer up for that. I'm going to donate that. And, so anybody that's in Nebraska, or if you're not and you just want to help out, I'm sure he would take money, or if you have a processor that makes some jerky and he could get you lined up with how to ship it. I mean, it's an awesome deal. I can't remember. I was talking to him the other day, and I'll probably mess this up, but I can't. I'm not even going to say it, but they've shipped hundreds and hundreds of pounds of meat, of jerky over there. It's a pretty cool deal. So that's what I'm doing right now is putting some in the freezer for him. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I used to do a lot of stuff with farmers and hunters, Feeding the Hungry, a couple other stuff, a couple other organizations. But now, stuff I'm donating, not donating, but I'm giving away to friends and family at the moment, you know.
So. Yeah, which is great. I mean, that's something that, you know, and I got some family at, well, like my dad, he's a hunter, but he doesn't really get out and hunt as much anymore. So I've been giving him some meat, and he's been enjoying that. So it's always nice. I mean, nothing goes to waste, I guess. People get after me for my, not after me. I mean, I don't have it as bad as like Aaron or, you know, you probably have it. I mean, I don't have as big of a wide span of people that are following me, so I don't have the trolls out there. Right. I mean, every now and then I get one that's just stupid, but people are always, you know, if they do say something, it's like, what are you doing with that? You know, they think it's going to waste. Well, nothing goes to waste. It's all used. I bring at huge expenses of money, bring all this meat home. It's right. Sometimes crazy to fly, you know, pig, you know, I can't remember how much pig meat we had. That sow I shot in Florida was like, she was over 250 pounds on the hoof. So I can't even remember. It cost me a ton of money to bring that home from Florida, and almost made us miss our flight because we had dry ice, and we could only have so much dry ice. And it was a
bit it, or.
Oh God, it was a mess. But you know, that's the main thing about what I want to get my point across is, yeah, I don't consume every last bit of meat that I go after, but nothing goes to waste. It all goes to somebody or a good cause. So
that's the important thing.
Yeah. Well, and then I guess to finish off what we were talking about, I mean, as far as this season, I just shot a buck last night. I was actually just sitting. It's kind of my doe spot. I mean, obviously there's bucks there, there's does there, but late season, these does hit these wheat fields like crazy, and they'll be, I mean, you could drive by some of these fields and there'll be 200-300 deer out there, maybe more. I mean, I'm not saying I'm seeing that many deer, but I got a buddy that lets me hunt, and so last night I went and sat in a blind just right off the wheat field, thinking I was going to shoot a doe, actually, or a turkey, because I still got a couple turkey tags and one doe tag, and ended up that buck. I had actually saw him before and was thinking I was going to pass him if I got a chance at him, but he didn't get a pass last night. He was a little bit, not a young deer, but the worst part about out here is we can't manage our deer. That buck, he might have made it through this year, but he, you know, he's going to get shot next year.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard. It's not necessarily bad to say, and of course, I'd rather have him on my wall than some rifle hunter shooting him next year. Or we still got a couple weeks in muzzleloader season that he could get knocked. And actually, I thought he was wounded. He had a big spot on his back. It looked like fur sticking up. Ended up being a bunch of burrs he had on his back. But I thought somebody had maybe skipped an arrow off him. And regardless, I was pretty excited. He walked by me at like 15 yards. And I didn't think very long. I just I stuck him, and he didn't. I bet you he only went 20 yards and tipped over. So
nice.
That was kind of the icing on top of the season I've had. So
you just sparked my interest about something. So when does the season end for you guys?
End of the year. Yep.
Well, okay. So it's the 31st of December.
Yep. 31st. And then, our doe seasons, go to January 15th, which in some aspects I wish they didn't, because, bucks are dropping their antlers and, you know, they're shedding now. And so every now and then you'll get somebody shoot a, you know, legally shoot a buck and in that late season. But yeah, they go, the doe season goes for another 15 days after that. Gotcha. That's the cool thing about Nebraska, I guess, for me. You know, deer season, archery deer starts September 1st. I could buy two tags and it goes to the end of the year. And with all the other hunting I do, it's pretty awesome to just always basically be able to hunt something.
You got something to fall back on all the time.
Yeah, I like where I live. You know, I'm super close to South Dakota and Wyoming, Colorado, Montana. I'm like right in the middle of all that. And so I can travel and, you know, come home and chase turkeys or antelope or deer or whatever. So I really enjoy where I live.
No, that's all. I miss that having, I mean, so I could do archery deer here every year. And, you know, there's three, I don't want to say long, long seasons, but three okay seasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, I miss that, being able to have a couple deer tag in your pocket. It's always like, so like back in New York, I could shoot two bucks. And, mm-hmm. So every year, the first buck that came out, I would shoot, you know, because I had another tag that I can be picky and be a, you know, quote unquote trophy hunter or whatever.
Yeah.
But I could get one out of the system, you know?
And yep.
I mean, I know why Arizona doesn't do it, because we don't have the deer population to do it, but
sure.
Why not?
Yeah, that'd be tough. I love hunting in Arizona, but it actually works out pretty good in my favor, because my buddy, I think, well, he's just a good friend, and so he's mostly hunting for me when I'm down there. He wants me to kill a deer and a javelina, and at the end of the day, you know, if he shoots a buck, he's done for the whole year.
Yeah.
Which so am I, but you know, he lives there, so that's, so it works out pretty good for me. Like I said, he's always trying to get me a deer, and oh no, you know, I tell him, hey, you can go on that, you go kill that deer, and he said, no, so I kind of feel bad, but yeah, he lets me go on most of the stock, so it would be tough, you know, you kill your deer in January and then what? But
yeah, if you're not a destination hunter, it's tough.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Yeah, I like killing my deer in January, because then I don't have to worry about, you know.
Sure.
Like, I'm like, oh, I'm free to go to Wyoming. I'm free to do this. I'm free to do that. It's like, yeah. Every time I've ever killed in January, it's kind of a nice feeling, because I'm like, oh, I don't have deer to worry about in Arizona. You know, I mean, I do when I have clients. I have to go scouting or whatever for them, but like, I'm free to go other places, you know?
Right. Yeah, I could see that. For sure.
Time, it'd be nice if, you know, I had multiple opportunities here, you know. Maybe one of these days the deer herd will explode here and we'll have that, but I don't foresee that.
Well, it's nice that they, you know, let you, you know, let non, you know, buy that tag over the counter. That's nice. I mean, at least that gives you some yeah, options, which most places for archery is over the counter, but
yeah,
they limit everything, you know, even javelina in Arizona is a draw. So it's nice. You can just go buy a tag over the counter, and I'm lucky to have a friend that lives there. So I'm able to send in for my elk points and everything else, sheep and whatever other points that I'll never ever use. But you know, you got to buy that $160 tag as a non-resident,
right,
to send in for all that stuff. So it works out good that I'm able to go hunting every year and justify that hunting license. So
exactly. Well, cool, man. Sounds like you had a freaking fantastic year. And you still got some hunting left, so that should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to 2020. I guess I had people ask me last year how I was going to top it, which, like I said, I don't know as if I have. Last year I shot a mountain goat, so that's pretty hard to top that. But
yeah,
every year. I mean, it's not like I'm in a competition with anybody else or.
Oh, yeah.
Even myself, it's just I enjoy hunting and you know, new places and new things, and yeah, it's fun.
Nice. Awesome, bro. I guess that's all I got for you, unless you got something that you want to share that I'm not thinking about.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on. It was fun.
Yeah,
I enjoy your podcast, and it was a good time.
Awesome. Well, I will talk with you soon, and good luck here in Arizona. Maybe I'll get a chance. I'll be down there, I think, about the same time you're going to be. So maybe our paths will cross.
Yeah, keep me posted. I'll have to let you know where I'm at. I'll shoot you a text or something, see where you're at.
Sounds good. All right, buddy. Take it easy.
All right, man. You too.